Good to see you. Can't believe it's last week we had a carol service, can you? This seems like absolutely ages ago now, doesn't it? So it's like a blur, doesn't it? So if you'd like to turn with me to Luke 2. I was talking to my brother the other day. My brother's got a little boy called Andrew who's about 3 years old, I think he is now. And every evening after he has his bath, they normally have a little prayer time. And so they had his bath, and they were going to have their normal prayer time. And my brother says to Andrew, "Andrew, would you like to pray tonight?" He goes, "Oh yes, thank you, Daddy." So they sort of knelt down and began to pray. And he goes, "Dear Father Christmas." So it's a very confusing time for kids, isn't it? So we're going to look at the story of the shepherds. In Luke, it's particularly interesting that the focal point of this story we're looking at is actually the shepherds, and you don't actually have any mention of the kings. And it's quite an interesting and deliberate ploy by Luke to bring them centre stage. And we're going to look at a little bit about what that might mean in the story. But I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to read it, and then I'm going to make a few comments on them. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can come to you today to worship you, to hang out together, to remember the stories, the incredible entrance into the world in such a humble way, but has such profound consequences for all creation. And we thank you, Lord, that you came to earth to show us what God is like. And I pray this morning that you give us a greater understanding of that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it says this in Luke 2 verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." And so in this story here, we have a very, very common sight, a very familiar view in Palestine of the shepherds out in the fields keeping watch at night. It was the night shift, and the shepherds were doing what they normally did. It wasn't particularly spectacular. I mean, if you've ever been to Israel, sheep are all over the place outside the city. They bring them up in the desert and in areas of green pasture and where the water is. And so shepherds, even today, would be a familiar sight in some parts of Israel. And so the shepherds were doing what they normally do, sitting watching the sheep, protecting them from the lion and the bear. And what's interesting here in this story, is, as Rob alluded to, is that the shepherds in that society would be the outcasts. They would be the outsiders. They would be the ones that people wouldn't have much respect for. They would be the lowest of the low. But what I love about this is the shepherds are prominent in this story. They're given center stage. And what they do is they begin to give us an indication of the Lord's ministry when he comes upon the earth. It's to the outcast, the outsider, the ones that people have not much time for. And so it's the shepherd that God associated his ministry with. Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and the sheep know me." The Lord has a special place in his heart for the outsider. David described the Lord as his shepherd. And in Psalm 23, we have the story, we have this psalm which articulates the nature and character of that shepherd. And so we have the shepherds watching watching the sheep in the evening, and suddenly the mundane, ordinary evening turns into a life-changing event. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It wouldn't surprise me, it would terrify the living daylights out of me, I think, seeing an angel. You know, at Christmas we pop a little angel on top of the Christmas tree, and we begin to forget the awesome power of seeing a heavenly being standing before you, proclaiming the good news. And so their natural response, as it would be to you or to me, would be one of terror. It says in this, even with John in Revelation, who hung out with Jesus, knew him well, he was overwhelmed when an angel stood before him. It says this, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid.'" And so God's messengers, the angels, are awesome heavenly beings. Not only was the angel coming with good news, suddenly the glory of the Lord appeared. And the glory of the Lord is God's revelation of himself, God revealing his nature and character. And we see it many times in the Old Testament. We see God revealing his glory through fire, through lightning, through light. We see it in Moses when he was at the burning bush. We see the fire and the Lord revealing his holiness. We see it on the cleft of the rock when the Lord passed by and showed his nature and character. So the glory of the Lord is overwhelming, it's awesome, it's powerful. It's the Lord naming himself, it's the Lord declaring who he is. So with an angel standing there in God's glory, it's quite an overwhelming situation these shepherds find themselves in. But the wonderful thing is this, the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And so the angel came to declare the good news. As many of you would know, the good news is the same word in gospel. The gospel has come. The good news is here. It's of great joy, and it's for everybody, including shepherds. So what is the good news? What is the great joy? Well, it says this, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The good news and great joy for all people is today the arrival of Jesus has ushered in God's salvation plan. Isn't that fantastic? Suddenly the plan of the Lord, being prophesied hundreds of years before, is about to be unleashed upon the earth. Salvation, God's saving power to rescue us from sin and release us into relationship with God himself. It's good news, great joy for all who respond to God's invitation. Salvation is not a distant hope. It is to be expected now. Then it says this, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And what Luke is doing here is this. He's making sure that we understand that this baby is no ordinary baby. This is the Savior. This is the Christ. This is the Lord. And he's deliberately saying who this baby is. He used the word, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." And what he's doing here is he's attributing to Jesus the same qualities that belong to God. When you see Jesus, you see God. He's deliberately making that connection so people are very, very aware of who this baby is. Secondly, he says he is the Christ, or the Messiah, the anointed king. And he's pointing to the fact as the one that was prophesied, the one who was to come, the anointed king has come to town. In Luke 4, Jesus identified himself as the anointed one. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And so Jesus is identifying himself with the Anointed One. He has come to fulfill what the prophets spoke about in Isaiah and many of the prophetic books, that he, the Christ, the Messiah, is here and has come. And finally, he uses the word the Lord. It says, he is Christ the Lord. And the Lord is referring to the word which would have been used in the Old Testament for God, which is Yahweh, which would be the unspoken word. God's name is so holy, God's name is so powerful, that who dares proclaim his name? And what is happening here is Luke is saying, the Lord is in town. The Holy One of Israel is here. The one who is too holy to speak of is here before you. The Savior is here. He is Christ the Lord. And then it says this, you'll find, this is the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And what's interesting here is this, is that in a typical Palestinian home, typical in Israel, the houses would have been split up into two areas. The top bit would be the place where you'd sleep, and that's where the family would be. But underneath the house would be where you kept the sheep, the goats. You keep all your animals protected from being stolen and also from being eaten by whatever it is. And so there's a sense of actually a sleeping quarter and a place for the animals. And so it says this, there will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. You see, the shepherds had to find, it's my little boy lying down, oh. It's not these. Oh. And so what would distinguish this baby from any other babies is that he would not be located in where you'd expect him to be. And that would be up in this living quarters where people slept. And so whether this is an inn or whether it's whatever it is, whatever these scholars talk about it, the point was this, is that he wasn't where he's expected to be. And so that was the sign. That is where the baby is, because he should be up there, but he's there. So that's it. That's the baby. That's the one we've been looking for. And then it says this, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And we had the angel appears, we have the glory of the Lord, and suddenly heaven is revealed as everybody is there rejoicing in the coming of the King. And the song of heaven is this, glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on whom his favor rests. And these words are used at the beginning of God coming into the world, and also just before he left. We hear the words, glory to God in the highest, as Jesus was a baby. But we also hear the same words said as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt on Palm Sunday, as the King enters Jerusalem before he faces the cross a week later. Glory to God in the highest. The King has come. Emmanuel is with us. God is with us. God is with us. God has come to town. God is with us. And then it gives us an indication of God's ministry that is to come. It says, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And the promise of peace is to those who respond to Jesus' invitation. It says in John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And the word peace in Hebrew is shalom, which means peace. It means it's the whole idea of right relationship with God. It's everything is in balance. It's as it should be. It's the perfect relationship. The perfect relationship, everything is at peace. And as we understand, peace doesn't come automatically to us, does it? But it does come as a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus. When we get it right with him, everything seems to be all right with others, doesn't it? But it doesn't work the other way around. So the peace is for all those who, let's read it here, it says, and peace to men on whom his favor rests. And his favor rests upon all those, all mankind, who respond to God's invitation. Because it said this earlier, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And then it goes on. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so suddenly you have this incredible encounter with God, angels, the heavenlies, the glory of the Lord. And suddenly they're left back in the darkness, back into the world they knew. But they had met the Lord, and their response was this. They were hurried, they were urgent in responding to the good news. They said this, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So it said they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. And this, in one sense, the amazement in which the people who heard the message from the unschooled, the uneducated, it wasn't from the rabbi, the teachers of the law. It was from those who were outside, who had the message of the good news of the gospel. And then we hear Mary's response to hearing all these things. She said, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this kind of gives us a bit of an indication of the nature of Mary. Incredible humility. Because wouldn't it be amazing? Oh, I'm having, you know, that's my son. It's me. Jesus, he's mine. But she's quiet and she's out of view. You don't hear her much in the stories. You hear the song of Mary and you see her very, very, very humble, holding in her heart the wonder of God using her. Then it goes on, then it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so in conclusion is this, God wants to and will and does break into the ordinariness of our lives. He wants to reveal his son, to reveal his glory, and to reveal his plan for our lives. And when God comes into our lives and we respond to that, it's great news, it's great joy, and it's for all of us here today. And so let's just take a moment just to let those words sink in. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for coming into the world. We just thank you so much of the great news that you proclaimed and lived out and modeled and invited us into. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Savior, you are the Lord. You came as an ordinary baby, Lord, but you're no ordinary baby. And we just thank you this morning as we remember all that you've done for us. And we thank you that you'd send your son into the world to show us what God is like. And I just pray this Christmas, Lord, that you'd help us to remember who you are and what you're about, Lord. And we just thank you, your ministry was to all mankind. But you had a special place in your heart for those who rejected, those who are outside, those who were. And so we just thank you, Lord, for your ministry upon the earth and pray that you help us to walk in the ways that you walked. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.